Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to Laurus Labs Limited Q1 FY24 earnings conference call hosted by Antique Stock Broking. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I would now like to hand the conference over to Mr. Monish Shah from Antique Stock Broking. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you, Carol. Good evening, everyone, and welcome to Laurus Labs 1Q FY24 results conference call. We thank the management for giving us the opportunity to host the call. Today, we have with us Dr. Satyanarayana Chava, founder and CEO, Mr. Ravi Kumar, executive director and CFO, and Vivek Kumar from the IR team. I will hand the call over to Dr. Satya for his opening remarks. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you, Monish, for hosting this call. Thank you, everyone, for joining us for Q1 FY24 results conference call. We are pleased to have this opportunity to update you on our results and also answer your queries. During our last call, we emphasized on our growing commercial and scientific capabilities along with our customer centricity, which will position us to achieve a sustained future growth. During the current quarter, we have continued to build on it and further advanced our operational excellence as we stepped up application of cutting-edge technologies like continuous flow chemistry, synthetic biology, and precision fermentation. We also executed on several value-enhancing business development work, including our first multi-year commercial contract with a leading crop science company and deepening our collaboration in cell and gene therapy. We increased our stake in ImmunoACT to close to 34%, which will support ImmunoACT with phase 3 trials for their lead candidate, HCAR19, along with expansion of the multi-location GMP facility and scale-up manufacturing of CAR-T. Besides, we also collaborated with IIT Kanpur in licensing 4 patents for 3 gene therapy programs, and we will also support the clinical activity there. We're also planning to set up a cGMP gene therapy and vector manufacturing facility at IIT Kanpur. Therefore, our team remained fully committed in driving scientific capabilities and delivering on long-term growth of business and efficiency, and also allocating resources very efficiently to forward on our transformative opportunities. During this quarter, our formulation unit, Unit 2, received EIR from U.S. FDA. Moving on to our financial results, our Q1 results were very challenging, driven by lower revenues and higher upfront cost, and also rescheduling of some of the supplies by customers and global ARV agencies. It is also important to keep in mind that our year-on-year growth was subdued due to a particularly strong quarter where we had executed a large PO for a big pharma. As a result of these factors, our revenues have declined to 1,182 crores and EBITDA at 168 crores, with an EBITDA margin of 14.2%. We believe this is very transient, and underlying demand for our key growth portfolio remains strong. We believe both our API business and FDF business will return to normal levels from Q2 itself. Our CDMO business improvements are on track, along with execution on some very interesting projects and new partnerships. ARV revenues on an overall basis have incrementally stabilized during the quarter and expect continued strength given our leadership position in many of the first-line therapy products. Our cost improvement programs are also progressing as expected. Therefore, we are optimistic about our Q2 and future quarters in the current financial year. To begin with, I would like to share key updates on our formulation business. We did two 284 crores of formulation sales in Q1, with a decline of around 18% over last year. On sequential basis, revenues are dropped by 21%, mainly impacted by lower demand, particularly in the ARVs. This should rebound from the current quarter itself. While the overall market volumes are largely remained stable in the LMIC business, a shift in the procurement timing from global agencies along with continued lower prices led to fall in Q1 revenues. This is transitionary in nature and expected to be back on track very soon. We remain intensely focused to stabilize ARV business through FY24 and beyond while navigating pricing headwinds created by the competition. We have successfully implemented several measures around expansive portfolio with cost improvement initiatives, and we believe these measures will ensure our market leadership and confidence of sustaining our leadership position in the first line products, both in APIs as well as in formulations. Coming to the developed market, demand for our broader product portfolio remains healthy. In US, we continue to get good market share on products and also increasing volume from the marketed products. During the quarter, we filed one ANDA. With that, cumulatively, we have filed 38 ANDAs to date. Of this, we have received 15 approvals, final approvals, and 13 tentative approvals. We continue to have diverse portfolio and pipeline, including novel 505B2 products across ARV, cardiovascular, CNS, and GI franchise. In Canada, we have 20 filings. Of those, we got 13 approvals, which we have launched 9 products. And we intend to launch 3 more products during the current financial year. In EU markets, we have 15 filings and we got 12 approvals. Out of those, we have launched 6 products. We have continued to deepen our CMO relationship and anticipate more volumes in the current financial year. Our FDF division continued to operate a total commission capacity of 10 billion units. We anticipate that some of the brownfield capacities will fully utilized over the rest of the financial year. On R&D front, the overall spending to sales for Q1 FY24 was at 4%. We continue to make good progress on and invest in portfolio with product-specific approach based on complexity and scale. During the quarter, we got approval for an NDA for HIV pediatric oral dissolving film by US FDA, and we are working towards maximizing opportunity by leveraging this ODF platform in other therapeutic areas, including HIV. We have total 54 products in the R&D pipeline right now with an addressable market size of over 40 billion. I would like to give a status of our filings across the globe. 38 ANDAs in US, 15 dossiers filed in Europe, 20 in Canada, 9 with WHO, and 8 dossiers filed in South Africa, 1 dossier in Australia, and we filed 21 dossiers in India, and 23 products filed in various rest of the world markets. Of the 38 ANDAs filed in US, we have 16 Para 4 filings, and out of those 11 first two file opportunities as a sizable market opportunity. In the generic API division, during the quarter 1, 2024, we achieved a 597 crore revenue, increased by 2% year on year, but sequential declined by about 16%. Our antiviral business during Q1 continues its steady momentum and witnessed volume-led improvement growing 6% year on year and 17% sequentially, with the revenues of 407 crores. The impact of ARV pricing has slowed down, and we continue to maintain a leading market share in the first-line HIV treatment. Onco API business for the quarter was lower and declined by 13% year on year, and with the revenues of 54 crores. Sequentially, there was a drop of about 15%. This was because we executed a large contract in the Q4 of FY23. As you are aware, your company has one of the largest high-potent API capacities in the country, and we continue to strengthen our global leadership in some of the molecules. In our API segment, which includes cardiovascular, diabetes, and asthma products, the revenue decreased by 1% year-on-year with the revenues of 136 crores. The decline was on account of temporary market dynamics and scheduling patterns from our partners. We are very confident that our underlying demand for our products under CMO order book continue to look better. In Q1, we filed 3 DMFs. Out of those, 2 are in non-ARV category. With this, the total number of DMFs filed to date is 83. In the synthesis business, company recorded revenues of 250 crores during Q1 FY24. The revenues declined due to year-on-year comparison given large PO executed last year. Otherwise, the baseline business is seeing healthy momentum overall, and project pipeline continues to scale up with our existing as well as new customers. We continue to work on over 60 active projects, ongoing commercial supplies for about 10 products, out of those 4 APIs. We continue to execute well on our scientific-led approach to customer acquisition and retention. During quarter one, we signed a multi-year commercial supply agreement with the global leader in crop sciences company. We believe this agreement is a big milestone and the beginning of our journey towards leadership position in crop science chemicals as well. With this, we have added a new global partner in our CDMO growth strategy. We are making good progress on new sites for CDMO division, both R&D as well as manufacturing. Our animal health unit was inaugurated during June 23, and commercial validations will begin from October 23. Our animal health site will have capabilities to handle steroids, hormones, hypertensive molecules, apart from large volume products. Laurus Bio reported a 50 crore revenue in the quarter one with a growth of 70%. The growth was driven by increased offtake in CDMO business and partially booking of certain delayed shipments in the previous quarter. We have continued to expand our customer base with a strong pipeline. We are also optimizing our capabilities at R2 with the large-scale CDMO partners and further expect to complete the downstream debottlenecking during Q3 FY24. This unit will achieve its peak revenues during FY25. Our enhanced technical expertise in biocatalysis is expanding its application in small molecule manufacturing, which is helping the parent company significantly. Progress on our new greenfield site R3 is on track and expect expansion to happen in a phased manner. This site should further strengthen Laurus Bio capabilities in offering CDMO services in animal origin-free proteins and growth factors, apart from large-scale bio transformations and fermentation. With a profound scientific team of over 2,400 people, one-third of our total talent works in R&D and quality. We are continuously evolving our R&D platform towards more sustainable technologies to be used in development and production of small molecules. We continue to implement and operate best-in-class R&D manufacturing quality systems in line with the highest global standards, along with a comprehensive EHS management. During the Q1 FY24, a total of 31 quality audits were undertaken, including several customer audits. To date, since inception, we have successfully passed 89 regulatory audits since 2007, including 44 audits from major global regulatory agencies. With that, I would like to hand it over to Ravi to share some financial highlights.
Thank you, Doctor, and very warm welcome to everyone for our quarter one FY24 earnings call. Total income from operations 1182 crores against 1539 crores with a decline of 23%. As Dr. Satya explained the underlying reasons for that, and we have more visibility from second quarter onwards. Gross margin per quarter one came at 50.6%. This is largely due to the product mix change and partly fall in ARV prices over last year. But the whatever savings we are expecting from raw material prices will affect from quarter two. Our EBITDA per quarter one is at 168 crores with a EBITDA margin of 14.2% because of operational deleverage and the raw material selling price decrease, etc. And we are expecting to improve from quarter two onwards based on the order book, RM price stabilization. Our diluted EPS for quarter one was at rupees 0.5, reporting a decline of 89%. Our ROCE declined to 16% against 21% due to weak operating results and stronger capital deployments. On the capex front, we invested around 200 crores for the quarter. As you are aware that for FY24, majority of the capex in synthesis and bio divisions. Most of the expansion projects are on track to support our future growth. You can refer our slide number 7 of our IR presentation for more details. With this, I would request the moderator to open the lines for Q&A.
Members of the management, can we begin the Q&A session now? Thank you very much. Ladies and gentlemen, we will now begin the question-answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star then one on your touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Tushar Manudhane from Motilal Oswal Financial Services. Please go ahead.
Thanks for the opportunity. So firstly on the formulation revenue, how much is ARV and how much is non-ARV for the quarter?
The 188 crores is ARV and 97 crores is non-ARV. Two-third, one-third, yeah.
Okay. And sir, given that the facility being started in November 22, so how do we see the ramp-up for non-ARV formulation business?
See, the majority growth in formulations in FY25 onwards will only come from non-ARV. See, we expect the similar trend in the diversification of revenues from formulations similar to APIs. If you look at APIs, we are around 1,500-1,600 crores of API sale in ARVs, but our oncology, non-oncology and CMO revenue increased in API. Similarly, our formulation also, we believe the ARV contribution will stabilize around 1,200 crores, and the rest will only come from non-ARV formulations.
So, but the visibility for that will be based on the contracts you receive from the customers or product, like ANDA product approvals?
We have enhanced our CMO for European customers significantly this year when compared to last year. The volumes have gone up significantly, and we also got a few approvals from US and in Canada, so those volumes are also adding up. So currently our nominal capacity of FDF is 10 billion. But we are operating at 5 billion right now. It will go up to maybe 7 billion by end of the financial year.
And this is secondly on the guidance part, while we have highlighted that they maintain the sales guidance, but considering the shift of the procurement by the global agencies and CDMO coming up in second half. So, firstly, are we going to see some 5-10% dip for FY24 sales? And secondly, given the kind of profitability which we have achieved for first quarter, if you could also guide for the EBITDA margin for COVID?
Can you repeat your last question?
While in the presentation, we have highlighted about...
I am so sorry to interrupt. May I please request you to use the handset mode while speaking, as there's a lot of disturbance from your line?
Is this better?
Yes, sir. Thank you. Please go ahead.
While you have highlighted of consolidation here for FY24, but given that there has been shift in the procurement by the global agencies and CDMO orders picking up second half, so just would like to sort of have a reiteration about the sales guidance in terms of whether we'll be able to match or there could be some dip in the sales compared to FY23. And secondly, given the kind of profitability which we had from the purchase orders in FY23 and considering 1Q FY23 EBITDA margin, how do you look at the full year EBITDA margin for 24?
The shift in procurement factor from the global agencies, DRV, overall year they will procure what they committed. They shifted from Q1 to Q2. So we will have more sales of ARV formulation in Q2. So that's what we mentioned, is the shift is only transitionary in nature. Okay. When it comes to the revenue, so as we mentioned, we will be very close to what we indicated earlier. So we are not giving any guidance right now on our revenue numbers.
Tushar, whatever we have indicated as a consolidation year, there is no change in the state. In fact, we are on par with our internal targets, or maybe we are better than our internal targets for the quarter one.
Got you, sir. Thanks a lot. That helps.
Thank you.
The next question is from the line of Jeevan Patwa from Sahasara Capital. Please go ahead.
Sir, I have a question on ImmunoAct. So, we are also starting trials in Dubai and Mexico, right? For ImmunoAct, phase 3 trial?
It's not phase 3 trial, Jeevan. It is the Mexican authorities will do trial in Mexico using the product made in Mumbai. Yeah, it is. You can call phase 2 only, not phase 3.
Okay.
Not in Dubai. It is only in Mexico. That's the current agreement. But they are working with many other countries to have the similar opportunity, but nothing finalized as yet.
Okay. Because we will be launching, as per our timelines, we may be launching it in end of 24 and start of 25 in India, right? So are we going to launch it in other countries as well at the same time, right? Or
no.
It will be little later?
No, it is only India.
Only for India.
Yeah.
Okay. And secondly, sir, on the reach core side, so have we ordered for the R3 capacity? Have you ordered for the reactors and fermenters?
We are in the process of finalizing, yeah.
But we haven't yet ordered it.
No, not at all. We will order during this quarter.
The land was acquired. The registration formality is completed. The other groundwork is just begun.
Okay. So once we order, I think 9 months to 12 months will be taken, right, after the order?
I think the facility qualification will start 18 months from now.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Perfect, sir. Thanks a lot.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Bharat from Quest for Value Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah. May I know what is the capex for FY25? This is for Ravi.
Sorry?
So,
FY24
capex for FY25. Yes, you are right. So, especially the animal health, whatever we have capitalized during FY24, is start generating revenue even in FY24, in the second half of FY24. and but in FY25 it will generate a full year revenue.
I mean, my question is about the capex. What is the capex for FY25? How much of
FY25 capex we have yet to crystallize. Yet to crystallize, actually, you know, without crystallization, it's not fair on our part to commit. Probably September we will, September result we will come back, definitely.
Okay, thank you. And my other question is to Dr. Chava. So I think this animal health would be one of the big growth trigger in FY25. Apart from animal health, you know, what else are the growth triggers in FY25?
FY25, we will start supplying the crop science product later part of FY25, and some of the projects in the CDMO will move into higher clinical phases, so we'll get more volumes, and some of the large volume APIs in the generic also will be commercialized in FY25. So the growth will come from generic APIs, generic formulations, and ag chem, animal health, and also CDMO. So we expect, as Ravi mentioned, FY24 is a consolidation year. We see these investments will start giving good returns next financial year onwards.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah. Thank you. That's it from my side. Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Balaji Boina from JM Financial. Please go ahead.
Sir, good evening, sir.
Good evening.
Sir, happy to talk to you about the man in the ground levels, and we are giving the AP Telangana product formulation and with super compliance system with our company. I'm from the, as an investor, from last 2 years, we are dragging in terms of results, and that is reflecting in our stock prices. So, any improvement can we expect next financial, next quarter or after 6 months?
See, the biggest to capex is going on into commitments what we made to do manufacturing at the commercial scale for several CDMO projects. That was the biggest commitment in capital what we did. And when it comes to improvement, as we mentioned, we are very sure the improvement will be visible from Q2 FY24 itself.
And one more question can I ask you, sir?
Please, go ahead.
Sir, as a promoter, you are, from the market perspective, you are holding very low equity as a promoter. Is there any probability to buy back or acquiring from your end to make it more than 30%? Because it will, actually, you have a good name in the market saying that Mr. Satyanarayana Chava is maintaining ethical values for the company and as well as employees. That is proud of our stake, and but if you are increasing the stake for the investor point of view, it will help to the investor confidence more now, sir. Is there any, can we expect anything, sir?
We don't have any plans for that right now. See, whatever money company is generating is going into deployment, which will benefit every shareholder of the organization rather than few others. So we have no plans of buyback in the near future.
Okay, sir. Thank you, sir. Thank you very much.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Madhav Marda from Fidelity International. Please go ahead.
Thank you so much for your time.
Sir, I'm so sorry to interrupt. May I request you to please hold for a minute while we have the management reconnected? Thank you. Requesting the participants to please stay online.
Yeah, you're audible.
Yeah, my question was on the crop science business, the contract which we won. So if you could just give us some more details in terms of duration of the contract, size of the contract, and potential KPIs, customer or other, some more details, that would be very helpful.
As we mentioned, this is a multi-year contract, long-term. It's not 1-2 years, it's a long-term contract. And it is a, volumes are reasonable, I would say. And that partner has a lot of portfolio, so we have the ability and interest from both sides to work on more projects. We can give that much details right now.
Got it. And basically, this product was being made by the partner in-house, which they're now outsourcing, or it's being shifted from a different vendor that they were buying from earlier?
We can't give you those details right now.
Okay. Is it a patented product or is it off-patent?
Pardon?
Is it a patented product or is it off-patent?
Still under patent.
Okay. Got it. Understood. Yeah. And on the CDMO projects, which we are, you know, doing $100 million plus capex this year, typically, what are the asset turns for the capex here?
CDMO assets are not utilized fully around the year. So if CDMO assets are utilized fully around the year, the asset turn is very high. But this, you can consider maybe if, I think similar to our API business, I would say.
Carol, is this line clear? 1 minute. Carol, is this line clear?
So we can hear you.
Yeah, go ahead.
So, I was asking that you said it's similar to the API, but typically what is that? Is it 1.5x asset turns we can expect typically in a year from the CDMO capex?
See, what is happening right now, as I mentioned earlier, the CDMO partners are asking us to deliver commercial scale batches for phase 2, phase 3 onwards, especially phase 3 onwards. So your facility will be idle for a reasonable time once you deliver phase 3 molecules, phase 3 volume, and wait for significant amount of time. If the block is fully utilized, asset turn ratios are over 2 in some cases. In some cases, it is around 1.5. But it is safe to assume at a fully utilized basis, for a mix of products, you can assume 1.5 asset turn ratio.
Understood. Okay. And, sir, if I can ask one more question. In CDMO business, what's the total gross loss that we have invested now, excluding what we'll be doing this year? Like, end of FY23, what was our gross loss?
FY23 gross block is, we don't have any, it is a common facilities. The exclusive block, gross block is 250 crores.
Okay.
Exclusive gross block. 250 to 300 crore. But the but it is a common facilities.
Understood. Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
The next question is from the line of Ranveer Singh from Nuvama. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for taking my question. Sir, on ARV side of business, two queries I have. In formulation side, the price erosion what we witnessed has stabilized now, or we feel that the further scope of price erosion is there, looking at the kind of competition? That is one. And second question, that's in ARV API, we saw a good uptick in this quarter. So again, we see that that is going to sustain, or this is this will remain volatile quarter on quarter. So that two things I wanted to know. Okay, thank you.
ARV API business, we have a very good order book and visibility. So we expect ARV API sale will continue like that. And your first question of price erosion of ARV formulations, it was very drastic in the last financial year, but now we believe it is very close to stable. Yeah.
Yeah, so my question was in a context that because the new tender cycle has started for formulation, and we expected that we'll see the overall revenue moving up, then two elements here. So price erosion is one, and I believe that volume has also not been witnessing any uptick. So am I right that volume is also stable and then price erosion that is impacting? Or it is volume we are seeing the improvement, but it's the severe price erosion which has impacted the revenue there?
In the Q4 to Q1, the price erosion is not much. And volume only went up. And we expect the similar pricing in Q2, both API as well as formulations in ARV. But we Q2 volumes looking much better than Q1 in formulations.
Okay, fine. And on margin side, I think I see three elements here. So operating deleverage is one. Secondly, the price erosion in formulation would have impacted. But on the other hand, we see the raw material prices has also softened, and that is visible in your gross margin profile also. So there also I wanted to understand next quarter when we see that most of business vertical will see a better Q1Q growth. Then raw material prices, do you see that this will also help going forward? So if any kind of on an annual basis, if you could guide the margin, that what kind of EBITDA margin we ballpark number we can expect?
The raw material prices have definitely softened, and we don't expect and we don't wish the prices should go down to unsustainable levels. So if we prices go much below unsustainable levels, some of them will stop manufacturing and then it will have a very bad impact on the prices. They will go up. So we believe the prices have softened enough. I think it will maintain at that level.
Okay, fine. Thank you and all of this. Thanks a lot.
Thank you.
The next question is from the line of Harshal Patel from Mirae Asset. Please go ahead.
Hello. Yes. Thanks for the opportunity, sir. Sir, just one question, one clarification I need for the oncology and the other API segments where we've got a transient issue in this quarter. So, sir, is it possible to quantify the impact?
No.
Okay. But we are quite confident of it getting rebounded into Q2 onwards.
Yeah, that's is based on order book and visibility what we have. Yeah.
Sure, sir. Okay. Thanks a lot, sir.
Thank you.
The next question is from the line of Devrat Mohota from Capital International. Please go ahead.
Hello. Can you hear me?
Yes, sir, we can hear you. Please go ahead.
Yeah, I just had one question. Can you just walk us through, you called out the reasons for why margins fell so much this quarter. Without specific numbers, can you just walk us through what are the levers for margins to improve Q2 onwards?
Devrat, the one is in FDF, ARV FDF offtake is lower. That is one reason. And then because of that, operating deleverage took place. And the CDMO business is, of course, when you compare to the last year, quarter one, this is much lower. These are the two reasons. And then selling prices also, whatever it impacted in the first quarter, especially one or two APIs, the selling price benefit has not been there. Raw material prices decrease is not been affected in the quarter one. That will be affected in the second quarter. These are the three reasons for the decline in the EBITDA margins.
And what drives the improvement as we go forward? Because, I mean, again, next quarter, if you look at, you know, next quarter, if ARV formulation revenues pick up and CDMO, I mean, you know, you're saying that, you know, improvement is really second half onward. So the mix is again adverse, right? There'll be more ARV versus CDMO even next quarter. So what gives you confidence that margin will improve from where we are today?
ARV, FDF, we have an order book actually for the entire second quarter. And we'll be doing better in the ARV, FDF, number one. Number two, oncology also, it is going to grow up, number two. Number three, the overall volume we are expecting to go in the second quarter. These are the three reasons. Fourth reason is, whatever be the raw material prices soften, all these raw materials will be utilized majority of the second quarter. I don't say entire second quarter, but majority of the second quarter. These are the reasons we are expecting the margins will improve in the second quarter onwards.
Got it. And Keith, I can ask one more question with regard to the animal healthcare. When does that really start contributing, from a meaningful revenue contribution perspective?
From the second half of FY25. So with this second half of FY24, commercial validations will start, Devrat. And then supplies will start from second half of FY25.
But FY25, you will have a more meaningful full year revenue, Devrat.
Got it. But you think second half FY24 itself, revenue start coming through, but the full blown impact is FY25?
Yeah. Yes, correct.
Got it. Thank you.
Thank you.
That's it for me. Thanks.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Nitin Agarwal from DAM Capital. Please go ahead.
So two things. One is on the CDMO business. Now we've got three verticals in CDMO. We've got human health, animal health, and now the crop protection. Typically the crop protection margins are much lower than we've seen in some of the some other peers who do this work. So is there a right understanding that our margin mix is going to change in CDMO once we have a larger share of crop protection coming through?
We are not in the crop production B2C. Is B2B, our margins are similar to other CDMO projects.
Okay. So I guess whatever margins you're making, right, used to making in human health, you're saying the same margins are applicable even for the larger volume contracts which are there in crop protection?
See, current contract what we have signed is a medium volume. We have to experience if we assign a very, very large volume, how the margins look like. But the current products what we have signed is a complex chemistry, so margins are good.
Okay, so that's helpful.
It is not a one-step or two-step. It is a multi-step synthesis. So complex chemistry, so margins are good.
I got it. If you were to look at maybe 2-3 years down the line, when all of these three streams are firing, Is there a broad sense you have in terms of the mix could be there for us in terms of the three verticals for in the CDMO business?
Definitely in the order of revenues, we can say human health, animal health, and ag chem.
Yes. Okay. And the last bit on this, we are currently about 250 crores thereabouts per quarter on the human health CDMO business, and I guess. Where do you see this piece of the business scaling up over the next 2-3 years? What kind of projects, any color you can give us, this scale of possibilities which are there in this part of the business?
I want to correct one statement. Here in the CDMO, our 250 crore, we haven't mentioned that entire thing came from human health. It's a combination of many segments. You see, we are not giving segment-wise revenues in our CDMO. It will confuse everyone. So maybe at some point of time when all the things become very big, we will give. But otherwise, we are not fragmenting our synthesis revenues segment-wise.
I got it. But so just coming back to the human health opportunity, as you see in your pipeline right now, how should one think about this opportunity over 2-3 year time period?
Which one in that?
The human health.
Oh, it's very good. We are very bullish on that. Yeah.
And if it's possible, if you can give us a sense, how many molecules do you possibly see getting commercial in this space over the next 2-3 years?
We would like to defer the answering that question, actually.
Okay. And lastly, sir, on the other API segments, again, taking a 2-3 year view of that business, what would be the driver? We've done very well in the business over the last 4 to 5 years in terms of the way we've scaled it up. I mean, is it getting to a size where incremental growth is going to be a little more tapered, or do you see opportunities to grow this business at the rate you've grown the business in the past, and what will drive it?
I think it all depends on how many new partners we'll bring into that CMO space. So currently, we have done very well with one partner. We have added another one. So portfolio is increasing, and we are talking to third one to add. So, we expect it will grow, but it is very difficult to quantify what could be the growth. We're happy there, that segment.
And then, are there, apart from the CMO partners, any other drivers for this business? Earlier we talked about entry into diabetes, cardiac, and those anti-ulcer products scale up that will drive the business.
I think our CMO approach in generic APIs and formulations is, we are not doing potent formulations, but when it comes to APIs, we are doing potent, non-potent, all. So there is no therapy preference for us.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Before we take the next question, I'd like to remind participants to please limit your question to 2 per participants only. You may rejoin the queue if you have a follow-up, as we have many people waiting for their turn. The next question is from the line of Kunal Shah from Carnelian Asset Management. Please go ahead.
Two questions. One question was on borrowings, right? So as on 31st March, we had about 1600 odd crores of borrowing. And then we plan another 1000 crores of capex in the current year. So how should we look at our borrowing?
Kunal, sorry, your voice is not clear.
Okay. Is it audible now?
Slightly better, but not very clear.
Mr. Shah, may I please request you to use the handset mode while speaking?
Yes, sir.
Thank you.
Is it audible now?
Yeah, better.
Better,
yeah. Yeah, so I had two questions. One was on borrowings. So as on 31st March 23, we had about 1600 odd crores of borrowings, and we plan to do another 1000 crores of capex in the current year. So how should we look at this borrowings figure in the current year? That was the first question.
Okay, go ahead.
The second question was on the expenses part. So you did articulate when explaining on the margin front that since our revenues have kind of went down, the EBITDA margins have kind of compressed due to the operating leverage part. So just wanted to understand, now we'll have animal health capex on the CDMO front to start in the second half. So how should we look at the expenses, employee expense and other expense, which is about 160 odd crores quarterly right now, employee, and other expenses at about 270 odd crores right now. So how do we see this moving ahead?
First question on the, we already indicated even in the last call, our debt, net debt is going to increase by March 24, maybe by 300 to 400 crore, but again start declining from FY25. That is one. Second, on the expenses part, some of the animal health is already, some of the employees or maybe most of the employees required for the completed production block is already been engaged. But we will recruit more people in the second half. So you are right, the expenditure on account of manpower will increase in the second half. But the most of this manufacture at the ground team, maybe in the bottom three layers, so we are not expecting too much of an increase there.
Okay, Okay. But you would want to guide some amount to have a better understanding for the whole year that would come up in the second half on account of employee addition?
No, we don't have, and we are not disclosed, but if you are very particular, be in touch with Vivek, he will provide you.
Okay. All fine. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Aditya Khetan from SMIFS Institution. Please go ahead.
First question was onto the FDF business. So that business is witnessing degrowth from the last five quarters. What gives you confidence that it will improve from the next quarter? Can you throw some light on it?
Aditya, we haven't heard you clearly. Please don't speak on the speaker.
Am I audible, sir?
Slightly better, ma'am.
Sir, onto the FDF business. So that business is witnessing degrowth from the last five quarters. So what gives you the confidence that it will improve from the next quarter?
So we have order book. So that's the reason we are saying the improve. Your observation is right. In the FDF, the growth is bumpy, but we expect some stability will come.
Okay. Sir, my second question, so despite the weakness in numbers in first quarter, so we have given a guidance of consolidation for the full fiscal. So can we assume that on top-line basis, we would be almost flattish for FY 2024?
Yeah, that's what we are expecting.
Okay. Thank you, sir. That's it from my side.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Anirudh Shetty from Solidarity Investment. Please go ahead.
Hi. Thanks for taking my questions. Sir, I had two questions around our CDMO business. Sir, the last 2 years has been a bit of a topsy-turvy period wherein it's also given us an opportunity to do projects that really push us to the next phase. So can you just share some of the strengths around our CDMO business? What makes us a unique player compared to the other CDMO players? Where do our strengths lie? And my second question is, there are other players in the CDMO business that don't do formulations because they believe that it can either create conflict of interest or a perception of conflict of interest with the innovator customers. So how do we manage that given that we do both formulations and CDMO?
The conflict, we are managing very well because we are not filing any more Paragraph IV filings with the partners with whom we are working. Yeah. That's one conflict management we did. And second, with whom we are working, they haven't expressed that concern so far. So with the partners with whom we are working, they never talked to us expressing their dissatisfaction that we are in formulation. With some, we are doing some of their formulation work also now. So actually, we're expanding our offering from API, intermediate to API to some formulation work. So we are moving up in the value chain because of having formulation capabilities.
Capabilities. Why?
Yes, sir. My first question around what makes our CDMO business a differentiated business? If you just talk about some of our strengths.
Sorry, I couldn't get your first one. Now I'll answer. The differentiator is our R&D strength, where we have well over 1,000 people, and our ability to do biocatalysis at scale. We have one of the largest hydrogenation capabilities in the country, and the ability to deploy large reactor volume at a short notice, ability to allocate technical resources at a short notice. These are our differentiators.
Got it. And sir, if you're comfortable sharing, you know, in our CDMO business today, how much would be commercial, you know, business on commercial molecules, and how much would be more, you know, early stage?
We gave number. We have over 10 commercial projects. Out of those, four APIs. That's the we are giving, but we are not giving breakup of revenue coming from those commercials.
Okay, got it, sir. Thank you. Thank you for answering your questions.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Sajal Kapoor, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good afternoon. Thanks for taking my questions. I've got just two questions. One, once a novel molecule fails during the clinical phase or becomes commercially successful, the same team of scientists can support a new project, right? So to grow five times on the current CDMO base, we need not double our scientists. That's one. And second question is on Laurus Bio. The design and construction of R3, will take all the learning from R2 downstream debottlenecking. That's my understanding. So, we should expect a relatively smoother, stroke faster ramp-up when R3 goes commercial. Thank you.
I think you put a very valid point. Our learnings from Q2, R2 debottlenecking will certainly help R3 design, which we have done, keeping those in mind. The one challenge at R2 was availability of land. So we overcome that by taking an adjacent piece of land for debottlenecking. That problem was not there in R3. R3 is a 27-acre site, so we are designing it very well, keeping the challenges what we faced at R2.
On the CDMO side, Dr. Satya, to grow five times the current base, we need not hire or we need not double the scientific base, because once a project is either fails or goes commercial, the same set of scientists can pick up the next available project, right?
You are absolutely right. So to grow our CDMO business, we need to add capacity, not scientific staff more. We need to add some, but not in the same arithmetic proportion. Yeah.
Yeah, sure. And finally, on this CDMO slide 13, you mentioned solid outsourcing trend. Please, can you shed some light on the indicators that lead to such bullishness? Is this on the expectation of supply chain risk mitigation coming from innovators, where, you know, they are shying away from staying overly committed to a single country or a single organization for their entire basket of CDMO projects? Or is this bullishness backed by innovators' commitments and contracts?
It is on the visibility of number of projects we are talking. See, earlier, our growth in CDMO came from we started with phase one, went with the program phase two, commercial and all. Now, of late, we are getting opportunities when the molecule is in phase three. Sometimes, even when they filed NDA, they're coming and trying to add us as the additional source. So that is because of de-risking, definitely. Yeah.
Okay. And finally, this new ARV synthesis filings, they kick off in second half. So is that the reason we have stopped using the old synthesis process, because it wasn't cost effective, and the new filing or the new synthesis route is cost effective, and that will kick in from second half of this fiscal?
It is not new synthetic routes. It is only process scale optimization, solvent recovery optimizations, and lower RMC prices. We are not changing processes. That will be very lengthy approval timelines.
Okay, understood. Understood. Thank you so much for answering all my questions.
Thank you.
All the very best.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Darshil Jhaveri from Crown Capital. Please go ahead.
Hello. Thank you so much for taking my question. So I just wanted to ask about, now we see better results going forward with Q2. So would we see the margin that we've done last year in Q2, Q3, or how would the margin progression be? Would it be a linear growth, or would we be able to just jump back to the margin that we had?
Going back to healthy margins of 28%, 29% will need not just this year. Maybe we will achieve during the next financial year.
Not 27, 28, but maybe from 14, could we see a movement towards 24 and then maybe next year 28, or how would it work out, sir?
It will gradually go up. Yeah. See, if you look at why we are saying that our margin is not impacted. Our sales were impacted. Our margins are around 50%. Our sales was impacted. That has an impact on every key matrix.
Oh yes, sir. Gross margin will not impact, and so with better volume, we'll be able to see better margin.
Yeah.
That helps me a lot, sir. And sir, our revenue. We are confident that there would be no other threat to it, right? So we are now back to whatever bottom dot we've done, and now we'll be back to the track that we have, right?
Yes.
Any threat we could see, sir?
Pardon?
Sorry, sir. I just meant, do we see any threat or risk other than the normal business risk, or something specific that we might be on the lookout for?
See, all our facilities are regulatory inspected. There is no regulatory risk. So we have good visibility of orders in ARV, APS, and formulation. So we believe the risks are minimal. So we can't say risk is zero, but risks are minimal.
Perfect. Thank you so much, sir. All the best for future quarters, sir. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Tushar Bohra from MK Ventures. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity. Starting with your introduction, we see a lot more emphasis on gene therapy and immunoag. There's also this crop protection deal that you signed. Increasingly, we are seeing efforts now starting to become intense on the need to diversify from ARV and the traditional areas you are working on. So can you just throw some more qualitative light and also maybe some milestones to look out for over the next, say, 2, maybe 3 years on the different areas that you're working on, including maybe immunoag and gene therapy itself, maybe on flow chemistry, fermentation-based products. There was in one of the earlier calls talks about your efforts on injectables or you're looking out for injectables. Just to understand the bridge from where Laurus is today, in say 3 years time, where we would be from a therapy and area of work perspective.
Thanks for asking this interesting question. If you look at our investor presentation page 15, we clearly put transformation, what we have done in the last 5 years. In FY18, 73% of revenues came from ARV, both APIs and formulations. In FY23, 37% of revenue only came from ARV, APIs and formulations. So that's the big transformation. So when we initiate any transformation activity, we also need a lot of gestation period. Going back to your question, what are the areas which will drive our future growth will definitely come from our CMO, generic API and formulations, CDMO, and Laurus Bio. These will drive our growth.
So this is, something that's already understood. What I'm trying to understand is, let's say, within Laurus Bio, what are the initiatives being taken today, qualitatively, what areas you're focusing? Flow chemistry you mentioned, so what exactly are you looking at? Something on those lines, maybe a bit more granular and not sticking to generic API and CDMO kind of
stuff. In the CDMO space, as we mentioned, and few of the investors also asked questions, our animal health ag space and human health advanced clinical programs will give a lot of benefit. In Laurus Bio, so we are expanding capacity to cater to precision fermentation. We are also getting into terpene space. We are also planning to get into media space there. So there are several initiatives. Yeah. In CDMO. Yeah.
And in flow chemistry, sir?
Pardon?
Flow chemistry.
Flow chemistry, we had two flow chemistry commercial machines installed at Vizag. I think that will continue to help. See, what is happening in the overall reaction schemes right now, you have a one flow chemistry in out of 10 reactions. So unless you have flow chemistry capabilities, you can't take up the entire projects. Similarly with biocatalysis, if you are doing 10 chemical steps for a program, one biocatalysis, one continuous flow, or two biocatalysis, two continuous flow. So those are the capabilities helping us to get customers attracted towards us in providing manufacturing.
Oh, and on ImmunoAg, sir, we are now at about 34%. The idea is to consolidate this eventually. And does this also mean that we are looking at CDMO projects in this space, maybe? What is the ambition for this segment, sir?
Right now, no plans, sir, Tushar.
Okay. Sure. You mentioned on the CMO activity on formulations that you're moving up from APIs to formulations. So if you could understand what kind of projects are we picking up and what is the potential, and is this also, is this mainly to, you know, sort of fill up the large capacities, or is there an element of, you know, specific capabilities at play that are helping us get high margin CMO activity?
You are asking our CMO generic formulations?
Yes.
We last year we did close to a billion units. This year that number may inch closer to towards 1.5, 1.6 billion. Yeah. Hello?
Right, sir. Yeah.
Yeah.
Sure, I thought you were...
If you have any questions, let's take offline.
Yeah, sure, sure. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Rishabh Shah from Dalal & Broacha. Please go ahead.
Hello. Hello.
Yeah, please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you for taking my question. So my concern would be that in the ARV business, which declined last quarter, the reason for the dip, one of the reasons for the dip in ARV business is because we did not have procurement of ARV intermediaries by global agencies. So this quarter, where do we stand now? And over the course of time in FY24, how do we expect the business coming from global agencies regarding the ARV intermediaries?
It's looking very healthy right now. So both API front and formulation front looking very healthy. The only challenge what we had last year was the pricing erosion. So this year we expect price erosion will not happen.
Can you share any ballpark numbers regarding this?
We shared the API sales around 400 crores ARVs and about close to 190 crores formulation sales. About 600 crores of Q1 sales came from ARV APIs and formulation put together.
Okay, but other than pricing improvement, there are no there is no any specific improvement for getting orders from global agencies.
So we have more supplies planned in Q2 than in Q1. We can give that much guidance. Yeah.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you very much for taking my question.
Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, that was the last question for today. I would now like to hand the conference back to the management for their closing comments.
Thank you, investors, for asking very insightful questions. And I want to thank Manish for hosting this. And I want to thank everyone for your active participation. Thank you.
Thank you all. Manish, Karol, thank you.
Thank you. On behalf of Antique Stock Broking, that concludes this conference. Thank you all for joining. You may now disconnect your lines.